We are back at it. Welcome back to another edition of the Pistols Firing Podcast. No game this week. It is a Thursday, but we do have a special guest who's going to join us. But let me first bring in Kyle Porter. Kyle, what's up, man?
Not much. We're going to actually go to our guest first thing this week, try to get our phone situation sorted out. So it's time for the Coop Ale Works Guest of the Week. Coop Ale Works, brewing great-tasting craft beer in Oklahoma City. Try the flagship F5 IPA, the bold DNR Belgian Strong Ale, or the refreshing Horny Toad Blonde. For your next watch party, tailgate, or get-together with friends, enjoy a cold Coop Ale Works, and please remember to enjoy responsibly. I'm excited about this guest, Carson. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to talk to him.
Yeah, we had some technical issues on our computer side of things last week, so we apologize for not getting him on last week. But we're going to call Nathan Peterson, former Oklahoma State defensive end. I believe he was there from 2004 to 2006, maybe 2007. He was All Big 12 his senior year. Played for Les Miles and Mike Gundy, so it'll be interesting to talk to him. And the most interesting thing about him, Kyle, as we get ready to call him, is after he played football at Oklahoma State, he joined the Marine Corps and fought in Afghanistan. So it'll be interesting to catch up with him. So let's give him a call right now.
Absolutely. Should be great.
All right. Joining us right now is former defensive end Nathan Peterson. Nathan, how are you, man?
I'm good, man. How are y'all doing?
Doing well. Why don't you just give us an update on what you're doing nowadays? I know you you obviously played football at Oklahoma State, joined the Marine Corps. What are you up to now?
After I got out of the Marine Corps, I was a GA at OSU for 2 years and decided to go a different route after that. And now I'm working in Tulsa. I work for BP Pipelines. Pipeline controller, the midstream section, and it's a good job. I like it. Considered the safer side of the energy industry, and just settling down. Got a 2-year-old boy and wife, and kind of enjoying the slow pace of life.
So that's interesting because I think that a lot of former players that they're always trying to get back into football, but you went the other way. You got into it and then you got out of it. What was the reason that you decided you didn't maybe want to coach in the future?
It was kind of a combination of a lot of things. I remember specifically just looking at my son when he had just turned 10 months old and I hadn't really seen him. And I just, like, those 10 months flew by and I wasn't around for a lot of it. And it just, I was like, I don't think this is the right path for me. My wife had already been through a lot with the military thing, and then coming into that, she was happy to do so much and, you know, work full time on top of that with, you know, our son. And I just decided, you know, I enjoy coaching. Coaching's the fun part, but there's a lot of other stuff goes on with it, and it's a really tough career. You know, obviously there's no job security and you could be moving every couple of years, and you know, our family's here. We just kind of decided and kind of a surprise to her to just go a different route and be around more often and, you know, watch it grow a family and, you know, do the whole traditional thing. And it was the best decision I made. I don't regret going to OSU and having that experience for 2 years. It was awesome, but it also helped me realize what I really wanted to do.
Well, after you were done playing at Oklahoma State, Nathan, we kind of mentioned it. You decided to join the Marine Corps. You didn't even entertain an idea to play in the NFL. What made you want to join the Marines and go fight over in Afghanistan right after college?
You know, it kind of got in my head my junior year. Met a good friend of mine I met through my wife. When we first started dating, we went to their wedding, and he was in between deployments and just was able to come home to get married, and then he was going shipping back out to Iraq, and it was just kind of an eye-opening experience for me. Same age, you know, and he's a good friend of mine now, and I was worried about, you know, what I had going on at practice or what the hard workout for the week, and same age, and this guy was going and literally fighting for his life, and it was just kind of one of those things. I felt like, you know, I was an able-bodied guy, and when my time was done playing ball, I could you know, go and do my part. And it just kind of ate at me and turned into one of those things that if I didn't do it, I was going to regret it forever. And I'm extremely glad I did it. It was a great experience, a terrible experience, everything you can imagine. It was kind of all of that, but I wouldn't trade it.
We could probably spend our whole time talking about your experience in the military. I do want to talk a little bit about OSU, but one last question on that. What do you feel like is your biggest takeaway from having been in the Marines to apply sort of to the rest of your life?
Oh, man. You know, we have it so good here. It's unbelievable how good we have it here. You see the way kids have to live and women in Afghanistan, it's terrible. It's awful. Especially the way women are treated. It's bad. And, we get caught up in, especially right now with this circus election and, you know, we get caught up in all this such stupid stuff and worrying about nitpicky things. And, you know, when you over there, you hand a kid a pen and you just made his life. He's the coolest thing in the world is to give him a pen or a piece of candy, you know. And anytime I have to tell myself, you know, when I'm feeling sorry for myself but having a bad day or whatever, it's like, you know, we've got it pretty good over here. I'm upset because I got to pay these bills or I got to do that. But it's when you see kind of the way some people have to live, you realize that how great this country is.
Nathan, when you're driving right now, I'm sure every now and then you think about football. What's like the first thing you think about or miss about playing football?
Oh yeah, I mean obviously game day, Boone Pickens Stadium. You know, there's nothing like you make a play with your teammates and like that stadium lights up when it's really rocking. I mean it's the coolest. And you know, I never got to play in the full. I played in the construction zone for 4 years. And by the way, Les Miles promised me that would be done for my sophomore year. But you know, that's what I miss. You know, game days. It was the best. You know, the best experience. And you know, because just having so much love for the school. I grew up loving OSU and. I sure do miss that. I miss my teammates, and honestly, I miss working out and with Coach Glass down in the weight room. I mean, that's where all the hours are put in that nobody sees, and we spend more time as a player. You spend more time with Coach Glass and the strength staff than you do any coach. And he was a big influence on me. He taught me really how to work hard. I didn't really know hard work until, you know, got into his system, and he really broke us down, tore us apart, and then built us back up. And he really is the best in the business, and he has an unbelievable amount of respect for those players.
So you were kind of there at this transition period between the Miles era and then now when Oklahoma State has this sort of established program. How much did you guys feel that you were kind of building something that was going to be special in the future?
We knew we were getting there. We knew we weren't there, but we knew we were getting there, heading in the right direction. You know, Coach Gundy came in and immediately, you know, his heart is in Stillwater. That's where we knew that he was going to put everything he had into turning that program, making it a, you know, a household name nationwide. And, you know, I think my junior year, 06, we were so close on so many different games that year. I mean, we ended up being 6-6 when we finished the season. We could have been 9-3 easily, but just a few things didn't go our way, and it was kind of the same way to see my senior year. So I think, like, when I graduated in 07, I felt like I knew the next couple of years were going to be special, especially with guys like Zach Robinson and, you know, Keith Toastin and those guys on offense that we had. I knew that they were going to be good as long as they kept that upward trend. But I think 06, 07 was kind of the beginning of it, I guess you could say.
Nathan, you're probably most remembered for that touchdown fumble recovery you scored against Nebraska. What do you remember about that? And did you have a touchdown celebration in mind as you were running?
No, I was just wondering if someone was going to catch me. I knew the receiver was on my tail, but I didn't know if he was going to catch me or not. But luckily, he was a white guy like me, so I outran him. And but I didn't have a celebration in mind. I didn't know what to do. I just kind of threw the ball down and ran around with my teammates. And then I got to the sideline, and everyone was, like, jumping on me, and I couldn't breathe. It was like I was about to suffocate, so I started pushing guys off me, and I looked like a jerk. But I that was the one thing I remember was I almost passed out afterwards. And, you know, I only ran, like, 20 yards.
Yeah, there was – to your point, there was six – Oklahoma State lost six games that year. Four of them were by 6 points or fewer, which is pretty crazy. We ask everybody this, and I'm always curious, but who do you feel like was the best player that you played against in your time at Oklahoma State, whether it was an offensive guy for OSU in practice or somebody else in the Big 12?
I'd say Vince Young. For sure.
He was pretty good.
I mean, he as far as in college, he would just completely take the game over. When you have a quarterback like that, you know, obviously Adrian Peterson was amazing, but he was on and off. But Vince Young, that 2005 game, I mean, we for a second thought we were about to beat him, and then we ended up losing by like 30 points or something like that. But he was just take over a game completely.
All right, Nathan, we'll get you out on this. You went hunting this morning. What'd you hunt and did you get anything?
I was deer hunting and I didn't get anything. I saw three does, but unfortunately they saw me too and started blowing and snorting and let everybody know where I was. So that was pretty much the end of my hunt, but it's early in the season, so hopefully I can get a big buck, but we'll see.
All right, Nathan. Hey, we really appreciate your time, Nathan. It's good catching up with you. Hopefully we'll do it again later on this season.
Yeah, man. Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Nathan.
All right, see you, Nathan.
All right, bye.
To his point, Oklahoma State was up 28-9 on Texas that year, 2005.
Was that the year in Stillwater?
That was the year in Stillwater.
That was the pump fake game.
That was the pump fake game. It was also the fake field goal to DeJuan Woods game.
Oh, was that a field goal? I can never remember what play it was. I just remember they ran a trick play to DeJuan, and he caught it with like one hand and scored.
I'm pretty sure it was a fake field goal.
I think you're right. And Pena threw it, but he was the holder on that play. He wasn't a quarterback. I could never remember that.
Yeah, I'm pretty.
I was in the student section for that game, Kyle.
I was too. It was crazy. And we thought we were gonna win.
We thought we were gonna win. And there were so many games like that against Texas when we were in college. The 07 game against Colt McCoy in Stillwater. The worst one ever, though, Kyle, was the one in Austin against Vince Young, where Les Miles was up 35-7. I think it was.
That and Vernon Morency had like just a field day in the first half of that game.
Right. So, but no, it was good to catch up with Nathan, man. You can just hear the guy talk. The guy is just exceptional. And I think Glenn Spencer would have loved to have coached Nathan Peterson.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. We have these guests on and we always feel bad taking up their time because it's, I don't know. We value their time and they're people that we grew up watching. And so
we can't believe they want to talk to us.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I could have talked to him for like 45 minutes, you know, like just about old OSU football stories and what he's doing now and everything. I did want to ask you what kind of coupe do you think Nathan Peterson drinks?
Oh man. Do you have one in mind? I gotta think about this.
He seems like a DNR guy. He seems like he's not messing around. Like, getting to business, getting to work.
After a long hunt, comes back, sits down, doesn't have to worry about recruiting any 18-year-olds anymore. He can just sit down and enjoy a nice DNR. I like that.
Do you ever hunt?
Never been hunting in my life.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Have you?
No.
I'm not a morning person. You know that better than anybody, that I don't wake up to do the podcast very early. But I don't have the wherewithal to get up at like 4 a.m. and sit in a tree and wait. I don't have any patience at all.
I heard a great term the other day that I started applying to myself. It was on Zach Lowe's podcast. He said he's an indoorsman.
Yes.
And
I'm a city boy. That's what I call it.
I think I'm an indoorsman.
Yeah. I don't like camping. I don't like to be outdoors. I'm an indoorsman too. But no, it was, he's an amazing story, Kyle, because he was an unbelievably good college player. He was all Big 12, I think, his senior year. Mm-hmm. And he just immediately joined the Marines and went over to Afghanistan, which is just, you know, obviously admirable and just a wild, wild adventure he went on. But it was kind of interesting to hear him talk about the side of football you and I don't really talk about or fans don't think about. Is just the sacrifice the coaches make on their, you know, their families. They got to go out recruiting. Like, that's one thing we don't talk about with Mike Gundy. You know, he's got three little boys, or I guess they're all in high school now, but it's a side we don't really discuss or think about, but it's a huge side of football too. It's a big sacrifice.
Yeah, it really is. And good for him for, you know, people make different decisions about the position that he was in, but just for recognizing that sort of like fork in the road in his life and making the choice that he did. 'Cause you're right. Like it'd be hard. I mean, just to be a college coach, and it seems great 'cause you see guys like Gundy who make $3.5 million or, you know, even more than that sometimes. But for every Gundy, there's 20 guys who are making, you know, $38,000 a year driving around trying to recruit junior college guys. So it's definitely not, I don't know. I think it's not everything that it's sometimes cracked up to be.
Yeah. Gundy himself had to go to Baylor, Maryland. He bounced around a little bit before landing with Les at OSU. So, and he shout out to Coach Glass.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that guy is another guy we don't want to talk about.
We need to get him on the podcast.
I mean, he is integral to OSU's success. Yeah. I mean, I know he's a strength coach. He didn't draw up plays, but just
maybe,
about every.
Maybe he should.
Maybe he needs to carry a watch for Mike Gundy. But, I mean, about every player we've ever talked to brings him up. So shout out to Coach Glass.
Yeah, that's true. It's so interesting to hear, like, the more you talk to these old players, like what are the things that matter to them? Which games mattered? Who are the guys that they think are great? I feel like almost every guy has mentioned a player from Texas that has been the best player they've played against. And it's crazy to think about, you know, just how much talent Texas has had over the years. Zach has talked about Earl Thomas, Vince Young, you know, just different guys that these guys have gone up against. So it's been fun to have, you know, like you said, like if we would have gone back to 2005 us and said, you guys will be talking to these guys on a podcast in 10 years. First of all, we would have said, what's a podcast? And second of all, we would have been like, that would be pretty cool. So it's fun for us, and hopefully everybody enjoys it as well.
I actually hung out with Nathan quite a bit in college. He was really good friends with Clint Coe, who played in the secondary for OSU, and he and I have known each other for a long time. So it was good to catch up with him.
Yeah.
Do we have business to attend to?
Well,
we have some uni.
Yes,
we can talk about, since there's no uniform this week, we can probably pick our favorite one thus far.
Well, we do need to talk about that. But first, I wanted to say thanks to Matt Amillion for setting that up with Nathan. That was good.
Yeah, fellow Tulsa Unionites there. Those Union Redskins stick together.
Yeah, yeah.
And Nathan, real quick, Nathan, my senior year, you know, I went to Ed Memorial High School, and I had a bunch of friends that played on the football team. I didn't play, but I went up to Tulsa because they played Union in the first round of the playoffs. And I believe Nathan's brother was also a defensive lineman. I think he played at Colorado State. So you can imagine, and our offensive line at Ed Memorial was full of like 5'10" dudes who weighed like 205 pounds.
He played soccer.
They were in the quarterback's face on like three-step drops. Memorial had to resort to a three-step drop, just fade, and let the quarterback get destroyed every single time against Nathan Peterson and his brother. So I knew early on that he was a force to be reckoned with. So
it's crazy to me, just having grown up and gone to high school in Texas, just how good Jinx and Union historically have been. It's like it's not like Tulsa is like bigger than Oklahoma City. Like I don't understand why.
Well, they don't split up the schools. That's the biggest deal. I'm from Edmond, and there's three high schools. They're about to build a fourth.
Yeah, but still,
Tulsa Union could have three themselves.
Yeah,
it's like a college campus.
It does seem like there needs to be some sort of like legislation that divvies that up, because I mean it was the same way when I was in high school in Texas. You would have a 5A school like I went to with 1,000 kids in a class. So we had like 3,900 kids in our high school. But you'd also have a 5A school that had like, I think the floor was like 1,500 kids. And it's like, this is dumb. Like, what? This does not make any sense at all.
When did you go to, weren't you homeschooled?
Well, I was.
What do you know about high school?
I was homeschooled until ninth grade, so I went to public high school.
Whoa. Talk about culture shock. Ninth grade, that's one of the biggest jumps there is, even if you've been going to school.
Well, so the problem was I knew a lot of the guys just from having played baseball and sports and everything, just in like our local leagues, but I didn't know any girls.
Yeah, you had that – everyone loves the new guy. So you were probably a big hit away because you were new, because everyone's tired of everyone by ninth grade.
Exactly. It was great. Like I was this like novelty, like, oh, there's the homeschool kid.
And yeah. The new kid. Yeah.
If you can leverage that the right way, if you can, you know, use it to your advantage, it's great. And
I have a feeling you didn't.
No, I didn't. I just did my Algebra 2 homework and moved on.
Oh gosh! Let's talk unis.
Let's get to this week's uniform preview, and well, I guess we'll call it a review.
Review, yeah.
Yeah. Let's get to
midway
this week's
point.
Uniform review, brought to you by Chris's University Spirit, your one-stop cowboy shop on Campus Corner, and be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. Do you have like a top three so far this year, or do you just wanted to talk about your favorite one?
Yeah, I got a top three, but I'll mention my favorite. I think it's got to be last week's, the orange, black, orange. I've always been a fan of the 1-2-1 combos. I've always liked just the orange and black. That's the school colors. It's hard to beat that look. But I wanted to put the Central Michigan look up there, Kyle, the black, black, gray. I might have a 1A and 1B between those two. I really loved the look against Central Michigan. Granted, the game didn't go how you want, but you and I were on the – we loved the 2011 Iowa State look regardless of what happened. So that's my strong 1A and 1B with the all black right behind those two.
I mean, we've talked about it, but they've been lights out all year. You know, I mean the Baylor look, the, which game did they wear the Marshall badge? Was that Pitt?
Yes.
On the white helmet. Sorry.
Yeah. I think that's right. Yeah.
I think that might've been my favorite look.
The white orange, was it white orange white?
Yeah, I mean it was traditional, but the orange is I don't know. They've all been great. It's difficult for me to. I will say I am getting a little bit tired of the monster Pete on the orange chrome. So you have last week's the orange black orange as your number one.
Yep.
But I can't do that just because the
just because of Pete.
Yeah, the gargantuan Pete.
I like Gargantuan Pete better than Phantom Pete, which I felt like some people like.
Yeah.
If I'm going Pete, I like Gargantuan Pete over over Simple Pete.
I'm with you though. The black, black, gray is great.
Wait, did they wear the Marshall badge on the Central Michigan uniforms? Let me pull that up.
Maybe.
I mean, if that was a Marshall badge, I don't think it was. I think that was against Texas. They wore the Marshall badge. Yeah, it was Phantom Pete at Central Michigan. See, that might hold it back a little bit. If that had been like a silver brand, or even Gargantuan Pete, I might have liked it a little better.
That was the black, black, gray you're talking about.
Yeah,
yeah,
right. Black, black, gray with a Phantom Pete.
Yeah,
and a chrome face mask.
I think my top one is the Pitt game. The just traditional white, orange, white, but with the Marshall badge on the helmet.
It's pretty clean.
Yeah,
I just,
it's great. I loved it.
After 20 years of white, orange, white, I just feel like it's almost a waste of time when they wear it just because we've seen it so many times.
Yeah, it's just, it's hard. It's hard to like, they've, I mean, we've talked about it all year, but they've been lights out this year. We have small complaints, the gargantuan Pete, different stuff like that, but really their combinations have been tremendous all year.
Yeah, they've left no stone unturned thus far. They've gone all in. They've shoved their chips to the center. And what's fascinating, though, or what's kind of, I guess, which stinks, is there's more road games left than home. And I hate the fact they can't wear anything besides white, a white jersey.
Yeah.
Wish they could wear gray. It sucks they can't go color versus color, too, in the Big 12. Mm. I don't think a Big 12 game's ever done color versus color. How cool would it be to see OU at home in their red against Oklahoma State in their black?
So somebody, that would be great. But somebody said they thought, I think our friend of the blog or contributor to the blog, Chris Knox, said that he thought that like Nebraska and Kansas State went color on color at one point.
Really?
Yeah. Like a while back, like not recently. Obviously, because Nebraska
like 80s.
Yeah, it wasn't even the Big 12. Okay, so we talked on the blog this week about just kind of grades for Oklahoma State and where they sit at the midway point, and we kind of differed on it. And I actually went back later and lowered mine to a B after thinking about it further. So I gave Oklahoma State a B overall at the midway point. What did you give them?
You lowered it from a B
plus
yeah, to a B.
Yeah.
You getting cold feet over there?
Well, I don't know. I just
do you realize you were a little too rambunctious? I mean they've lost two games in just gut-wrenching fashion. To one team they had no business losing to at all. Non-conference game at home. How many of those has Gundy lost in his career?
I realize that. The counter to that, though, is that they're three plays from being 6-0. And then the counter to that is they're about two plays from being 2-4.
Right. Yeah. So, like you heard for Nathan, like there were a few plays from being 9-3, but they were 6-6. But you wouldn't give the 6-6 grade an A versus a 9-3.
I know.
So it's a results-based business for me, and I can't get over the fact that Gundy opened the door for the Central Michigan debacle by running a play without a wide receiver and not knowing what would happen if they threw a flag.
This is going to be your Simmons Harden thing.
It's my Harden trait.
You're gonna bring it up when you're like 50.
Well, it was so avoidable. Yet he created the circus that unfolded. So I can't give anything higher than a C+. I gave it a C+ because
C+.
Hey, it's better than C or C-. It's about average. good, not great. Not even good, just not great. But no, I mean, I was impressed with the Baylor game. I think Baylor's about to get exposed, Kyle.
I think they're not as good as we
all thought. I mean, to get outplayed like they did against OSU at home and then go on the road to Iowa State, who by all intents and purposes should have won against Oklahoma State and Baylor, I guess you could argue, but I just think their defense is not up to snuff. It's not what it used to be. Iowa State did whatever they wanted. I think OU, teams like that, are going to just mop the floor with Baylor's defense. It's just going to be a matter of can they keep up.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure they can. So the league is so wide open. It's unbelievable. I have no idea who's going to win the league. I probably lean towards Oklahoma right now, but who knows?
Their
defense isn't that great either.
Did you see what Gundy said on Wednesday about being comfortable with where Oklahoma State's at right now?
Yeah, read the quote to me.
Well,
I
don't have it pulled up, but he said that he's comfortable because he feels like all of their issues have been fixable, and he gets nervous whenever he doesn't feel like he has a solution to their issues, which I guess I'm on board with, but there's a part of me that's like, I don't know that you've got a secondary solution right now because you're about to face Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, and Kenny Trill down in Fort Worth. And they're going to light up Oklahoma State secondary. So I get where he's coming from, but I'm not totally sure that I buy it.
Well, that's the thing. Their toughest games are left. I mean, as optimistic as you are about the way they lost, bottom line is they have two losses, and now they're about to go on the road to Kansas State, which will be no picnic, TCU and Oklahoma. Tech and West Virginia come to Stillwater, which those will be, you know, those will be toss-ups too. So it's going to be an interesting stretch here now that they have to go on the road. They only have two home games left. So it'll be interesting. My hardened trade is the untimed down. Your hardened trade is Mason elite?
I just clicked on the post to talk about it. So
okay,
we can talk about it.
That is your hardened trade. It's not as Joe Flacco elite. It is Mason Rudolph. Is he elite? And what I've glossed through it. Does Dave ultimately decides that he's good but not elite? Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Yet, right? I mean, he still has a long way to go.
Yeah, he said yet. Okay. OKC Dave might not be contributing to the blog anymore. I haven't decided yet. No, he makes good points. You know, he took yards per attempt, he took completion percentage, he took interceptions, touchdowns per attempt, and quarterback rating. And he sort of took all these different seasons from the last about 8 years of Big 12 football from various quarterbacks and compared where Rudolph stands right now to other Big 12 seasons. And ultimately, the quarterback rating, Mason Rudolph right now is a little bit ahead of where he was last year, but it's still the 23rd best season so far in the Big 12 since 2008. And the best ever was good old Bob Griffin back in 2011. But then you've got other guys up there, Sam Bradford, Bryce Petty, Baker Mayfield, Colt McCoy. So it's, you know, I think it's difficult because there are so many different ways to look at it. And one way is the way that Dave did it by looking historically at the Big 12. But then the other way, and I think this is sort of what influences me, is you look at Oklahoma State's history of quarterbacks, and it's like Whedon and Rudolph in terms of the numbers. And so I think I get a little bit out over my skis in terms of like, in terms of like just looking historically at OSU quarterbacks and thinking about Mason Rudolph's position within historical Oklahoma State QBs.
Out over my skis. I've never heard that one.
Yeah, you get out over your skis and then you can't correct yourself.
No, I like it.
You can't fix
it. It's getting cold up here in Oklahoma, so I like that analogy. But I agree with you. Yes, it's such a different game now. It's hard to put in context Mason with other Oklahoma State quarterbacks. But I think Dave makes the most salient point here in that if he was completing 70% of his passes, he would be elite. It's those short throws that for whatever reason he has not made this year. Mm-hmm. And I do feel, Kyle, I do feel a little silly how much we kind of nitpick at Mason. The guy's thrown like what, two interceptions?
Yeah.
For large majority of this season, he's been excellent. And I feel like we've nitpicked him more than maybe any quarterback who's ever played at OSU, too. Maybe it's just a sign of the times. I don't know. But I think he's been great. And I don't want to get too nitpicky with Mason because I think he's been awesome with the exception of, he's missed some short throws, but he's obviously not going to play perfect football just yet.
A sign of the times. You sound like Gundy. Well, it's just the age we live in. You know, you got your mobile phones and your internet wherever you want it.
Where are we at in society today? Do you want to come up with the bingo card right now in the air? I go, you go.
Yeah. Hold on. Should we write it down?
I got a pen and pad right here.
Okay. We need it. We need to hear from, let's take a break real quick. Let's hear from Chris's University Spirit, our sponsor this week, and then we will come back with a bingo card. Chris's University Spirit on Campus Corner in Stillwater, Oklahoma is proud to be your one-stop cowboy shop since 1986 and proud sponsor of this podcast, Pistols Firing. They specialize in custom-printed Oklahoma State apparel and merchandise and pride themselves on their excellent customer service. They also offer a full line of custom Greek apparel and can even outfit your Little League team head-to-toe. They're located at the corner of 3rd and Knobloch on historic Campus Corner. You can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. Shop Stilly, shop Chris's University Spirit.
Before we do the bingo card, Kyle, we didn't talk about the Gundy time management issue last week. Can we get into that real quick?
That's right. We didn't talk about it on Monday. Yeah, let's talk about it. Kyle Boone wrote a great post on it. Did you see that?
Yeah. I don't have a problem with what he did. Does that make See, I can let go of the Harden trade. I don't hold a grudge.
You're okay with Kevin Martin. You're okay with Kevin Martin.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. But I really don't have an issue with what he did because I think he took the safest route. Now, do I get tired of him saying, well, hell, we could fumble. It could fumble and go the other way for a touchdown. Like, I get the frustration with that. But, and I know you probably want to run the football and get a first down, but everyone in the stadium knows they're running the football and they're not going to throw a play action pass. So even if you are in field goal range like you are, I think the most dangerous thing you can possibly do is kick a field goal. Because that thing gets blocked, odds are it's going the other way. And I think if you get it down to 20 to 15 seconds like they did, and they have to go 80 yards like they had to, it's kind of like what happened for Texas against Oklahoma in the Red River game. Like, once you have to go like 80 yards in 15, 20 seconds, like, it's not happening. Like, Central Michigan was a little different because they were further up the field and they threw a Hail Mary that was down close near the goal line on one play. I don't have a problem with running the clock, punting the ball like they did, and getting down to 15 seconds. What's your counter?
Yeah, I mean, you make good points, and I understand. I think part of it is just the fact that it happened in light of what happened in the Central Michigan game. If the Central Michigan game doesn't happen, I don't think there's as big of an issue. And I thought that Kyle Boone made a good point that, like, it's almost more of a mindset thing than it is, like what's actually happening. Because it feels like the mindset as well. It's just limp to the finish line, you know, and, like, not finish out the game. And I think that's part of the issue. And then the other thing is, like, if you've got an issue with kicking the field goal, punting isn't a whole lot better. Like, there's a lot that can go wrong there as well. So, I don't know. I wish that they would.
Not when your punter's the best player on your team.
Well, that's true.
Zach Seiner for Heisman.
I don't care that they didn't kick the field goal. I wish they would have just tried to get the first down to completely end the game.
Right. I understand that frustration. I understand the coaching scared notion. It sure feels that way sometimes. Coaching not to lose rather than coaching to win. Like, granted, Michigan's a probably better football team, but don't you think Jim Harbaugh, like, gets the first down by running the football?
Yeah.
Like, don't you think that's his strategy rather than taking a knee?
Or Stoops or anybody. Like, it just yeah.
Let's punt it twice. Let's not go too far.
That's true. There was more time on the clock, thankfully,
but I just think it was the safest route. Yeah. It would have been. I really want to see a scenario. I really wanted to get down to the exact same scenario of Central Michigan and Gundy run a play without a receiver and then throw a flag and him storm out to midfield and demand that there's no untimed down. I want to see that. I want to reenact.
Can you imagine just this happens in Bedlam and Gundy is just doing laps around Owen Field? Like, he's just
Mason throws it out of the stadium. He's without a receiver.
He just takes his shirt off. It's like 15 degrees, and he's just running laps. Like, he's daring the Sooner Schooner to, like, chase him around the field.
Or if they don't listen to him, he just takes his shirt off and lays down on the field like he said he should have last time. Just lays down on the logo.
I want that to happen again too. Okay, let's end it with the bingo card. But first, I want to get your prediction for the second half of the year. Where do you think? What record do you think Oklahoma State finishes with?
Okay, let's just go through the games. I think they beat Kansas. I think they beat West Virginia at home. Another team I don't think is as good as their record.
That'd be 6-2.
6-2. God, for me, this at Kansas State game is a swing game for me. That's where their season either goes from 8-4, 7-5 to 9-3 real quick is that game. I'll go ahead and say they beat Kansas State because I think Kansas State, too, might be just about what they usually are. I know they've looked good against a Stanford team who hasn't looked as good. They almost beat West Virginia on Morgantown, but I think OU might beat them up a little bit in Norman this week. So I'll give them a win. I'll give them a win in Manhattan.
I thought their win over Tech was somewhat impressive. I know Tech's defense is basically like the Pistols firing contributors and like three other guys, but
doesn't that game concern you, Kyle?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the, I think, two games at the beginning of the year that I said Oklahoma State would lose.
Oh, so and I caught, oh, she's already behind the eight ball for you.
I caught a lot of flack for that, but it's not looking so.
Well, I've watched them go up there and play pretty terribly the last few years. So, but I'll give them a win there. Mike Gundy owns Texas Tech. I'll give them a win against Tech at home.
So that's eight. You got them at 8-2.
I got them at 8-2.
Wow.
I think they might lose at TCU. So, I think they might lose their last two games like they did last year.
So 8-4.
Yep, I got them at 8-4.
And then
I would love to pick them to beat TCU. I haven't seen enough consistency for me to pick them to win out against and then get to Norman by winning out. I don't see it.
Yeah, I think they lose one of the TCU, Kansas State, or West Virginia games.
Mm-hmm.
And then lose to OU. So I've got the same thing, 8-4, win the bowl game, hopefully, and get to 9-4, which, I mean, we talked about it. That was kind of the floor coming in, wasn't it? Like for our expectations?
Yeah, 8-4 was just about, you know, the floor, yeah, the bare minimum.
Is it a bad season if you go 8-4? I don't know. It's weird. Like, I don't know how to feel about it.
Yeah, we'll have to examine that if it happens.
Like, has Oklahoma State had a bad season so far?
I gave him a C+. Do you consider a C grade bad? If your mom gave you a C at home school, would that be considered bad?
My
parents got mad if I got a C.
My parents got mad if I got a B.
Oh, wow. That's
yeah.
The difference between you and me. It's all about expectations, pal.
Okay, let's end with the – how many spaces are on our bingo card? Do we have like 24 spaces, 5x5?
Well, I have a bingo card on my desktop because I remember tweeting you a picture whenever I said we're close to a blackout because Gundy started his press conference with back at it and accurate.
In like 10 seconds.
Yeah. All right. Looks like it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 by 5.
So 24 because you get a
– Of course, this is just a generic bingo card I found on the internet. It's not like the standard operation.
You get a freebie. You get a freebie in the middle. And I think that people should tweet at us and or post in the comments like stuff that we've missed and we can add to it.
Right. And I think the star, the freebie in the middle has to be back at it.
Okay, so we're not. Don't so you we think? So we need 25 total,
right? Okay. Don't you think that's appropriate? Because he begins every press conference with back at it. That's like the star, the free
yeah.
space.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, so back at it. Okay, so
back at it.
You go, or I'll go first. So I'll go with loves his family.
All right, I'm jotting these down as we go. Never heard him talk.
Loves football.
Loves football. Really paid off for us. I'm trying to get the hard ones down first.
I'm going to take all the easy ones.
I can tell.
Accurate.
ACK hyphen rut. Mature. MUH hyphen TERR. Mature.
Enjoys the game, enjoys football.
Loves football? Or we already have it. We already have
no,
loves
he
football.
No, he says enjoys a lot too.
Enjoys football. He'll do great in the real world. I think Nathan was a big one of those. I think when he talked about Nathan Peterson, he always said he'll go out there and do great in the real world.
He said that about somebody the other day. There's some defensive back that's like an engineer. Is it Moncrief? I don't know who it is. I'm
are you blanking?
I'm failing. This is bad. Good
here.
Not great.
Good, not great.
Yeah.
I feel like the number thing, how he calls a player a number.
Yeah, yeah.
Should the space say calls a player a number? Is that one work?
Yeah.
You're up, not me.
Can we say like uses a fake percentage?
Uses a fake percentage.
Well, he just throws the other day. He said it's. He said something like, "I'm guessing based on the history we had for recruiting. I just threw that that number out there. It's 80 to 90% of your class that signs that would sign early.
Like throws preposterous number out.
Yeah, like he just makes up percentages a lot, I think. I would say 95% of the players we've signed over the last 8 years we've seen in either a satellite camp or the same camp that was on our campus. I mean, that's just like 95%, like he's just making numbers up.
I like it. So what are you writing on the space?
Fake percentage.
You know, it's not a take on the rant, because I think that the whole card could be the rant, but he always refers to society, kind of like I brought up, we live in a society. Because he'll bring that up, like with social media. He's like, we live in a society now with social media.
Yeah, that's
good. We live in a society is one.
What about any reference to hunting?
To punting?
Hunting.
Oh, hunting.
Skeet, deer.
Skeet, hunting.
First day of deer season. Took my boys.
Outdoor activity?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, that's definitely one. Now we're getting towards the end here. How many do we have? 1, 2, 3.
I got a couple more.
We got 14, I think. Go ahead.
He always references like people's like body transformations. Like with Rudolph, he's like, I mean, junior year, your body changes. You know, you've been in the program a little bit, and Coach Glass, he gets your body just transformed. He's up to 298 pounds or whatever he's up to.
Body transformations. I think any reference to Heisman Trophy winner. He doesn't call Barry Barry. He calls him Heisman. He's like, the last guy did that won a Heisman Trophy. So any reference to Barry Sanders, how about that? Isn't that a good one? I think that's a great one.
Yeah, that's good.
Any reference to Barry Sanders. I remember when I went to OSU games as a student, they would do that trivia. You know, they do a multiple choice trivia question, and everyone would just scream Barry Sanders no matter what the answers were. Barry Sanders.
He says ball club a lot, doesn't he? Got a good ball club. They got a good club.
I feel like we're missing something.
Yeah, we're missing a lot. I mean, it's we're trying to think.
Hard to do off the top of your head. You think of them while you hear them talk.
Yeah, maybe we should just like add to
likes
it.
Likes to go to class.
Yeah, goes to class.
I mean, now I'm just doing the rant.
Did you say?
Be downgrade.
Did you say? I don't think he said that since. Did you say never says a word? Never heard him speak. Did you say both of those?
I heard. Never heard him. I wrote down. Never heard him talk.
Okay. So
doesn't say a word.
Doesn't say
the
a
other
word.
One.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's got to be on there.
That's your favorite one.
He likes mutes. I mean, he doesn't like his football players to talk. I like. I don't think there's a good way to phrase it, but God, remember he used to bring up like Ori Lemon every press conference or Kendall Hunter every press conference, like
referencing old players.
Yeah, like I don't know. It's like the space should say like Gundy's favorites, and those favorites include like Kendall Hunter, Ori Lemon, Brandon Pettigrew, guys who were good and loved to play the game.
Yeah.
But I think we're running low on Bingo's bingo card.
Did you put average? He says average a lot.
He says it about Mason every game.
Yeah.
Mason's up for 600 yards.
He was average.
He played average. Yeah. As a base.
Yeah. Which is not even like grammatically.
I think he said that after he threw for like the school record of like 570 or whatever he threw for.
Yeah. Yeah.
570. I don't think he threw for that much, but
549, 539.
Yeah.
I don't know.
God, we're missing something. Hopefully people can help us out.
Yeah. People should tweet at us. Definitely. And then
we're off
like,
a good start here though.
Yeah. And we can revise, like we've got some in there. We'll probably take out, but yeah, by the end of the year, we'll have a full legitimate Gundy bingo card.
Yeah. I need to pull up. Don't you have a guy that breaks down the Mike Gundy press conferences?
Yeah. Clint, he's heard them all. So maybe we should ask him. He might be listening.
He might be the foremost expert if he's breaking down Mike Gundy press conferences.
He's like the Strang and what were their names again?
Dean Strang and Jerry Buting.
Clint Davidson is the Jerry Buting of Mike Gundy press conferences. Okay. You got anything else? What are you doing on the bye weekend?
I'm going to Norman covering Oklahoma versus Kansas State. But yeah. I was at Oklahoma State yesterday. I was on campus back in the old Paul Miller building, the journalism school.
Speaking to classes. Speaking of experts, what were you talking about?
I was shaping the minds of America's youth, Kyle. It was an electronic reporting class. It's Oklahoma State really has done an incredible job with. They have a sports media program now, so like they can train kids on how to do like play by play, how to anchor on TV, do radio, all sorts of stuff. And they were kind of developing it my last semester in school, so I was able to get a minor in sports media without taking any other extra classes. But my old professor, John McGuire, has me come back once a year and speak, and it's always good. It's kind of hard to talk about it, like in my field and in anchoring and broadcasting and stuff. Like, there's really no way to teach it. You just kind of have to do it. Like, it's like anything else. The more you do it, the better you get. But I just kind of explained to him how I got to where I am now. I was sitting in this exact same classroom they're sitting in. I think it helps them to hear like this is possible. Like, I remember when I was in college, I was like, is there any way you can possibly get paid to do this? Like, was someone going to pay me to talk about sports? Like, there's no way that's possible. So it's good to go back and kind of share with them just what it takes to get to where they want to go.
Yeah, that's great. Did you have any feedback, people that see you on TV, hear you on this podcast?
We had a couple podcast listeners. Yeah, I asked people if they listened to the podcast. We had a few hands. Nice. And that was actually one of my big points, Kyle. You know, I don't want to brag about you or anything, but I don't want this to sound like I'm kissing your butt. But your blog, I've been meaning to tell you this for a while. And I'm glad I'm doing it now on the air. Your blog has gone from just you blogging about OSU sports to a legitimate news site, a legitimate, source for Oklahoma State information. Like, people I know read your stuff as much as they do the Oklahoma or the Tulsa World. So I just want to commend you on how far the blog's come since you started. And the point I made to the class was, and it's something you and I talk about a lot, is there are days you don't want to get up and write a post. Yep. Or do the podcast. There are days you just flat out don't want to do it, but you have to. Like, that's how you build a brand. That's how you build success, is just by showing up every single day. And that was kind of the point I ended on, was just how well you've done with your blog just by getting up and doing it every day. And then obviously you've progressed by hiring people and stuff too, who have done a great job. But anyway, I'm done kissing your butt for now. Well, but that was kind of the main point.
I appreciate that. You know what Brad Underwood would say about that?
Everyday guys.
We need everyday guys.
You're an everyday guy, Kyle.
No, it's true. It's people will email me sometimes and ask for advice or whatever. The thing I always tell them, the number one thing, is do it, whatever you're doing, do it every day. Whether you're starting a parody Twitter account or you're starting a blog or website covering the election, whatever it is, do something every day. And I say that, of course, I'm about to take this weekend off and go not do something every day. but yeah, I appreciate you saying that, and it's been fun to do it and to give other guys that are either in college or just out of it an opportunity to write about Oklahoma State and pay them a little bit. And it's been great. So I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, blog's gone to the next level, and I'm just happy to be a part of it. So.
well, enjoy Norman. I will be at a lake house with my family, just hopefully turning my phone off, reading some books. Playing with the kids. No skeet. Might fish little.
Skeet.
Might fish for some trout.
Take the boy fishing. Mike Gundy, when he's done coaching, will have a hunting and outdoor show with his boys who are like 35 years old.
Starring Rashawn Woods, James Washington, and Bryant Reeves.
Oh my gosh. Just get the whole gang together.
It would be incredible. I would pay money to subscribe to that show.
I would watch. All right. Enjoy your off week, Kyle.
Okay. Talk to you later, Carson.